This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a pain-free Friday for all stolen out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, a bad seed, a broken hand, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City on CBS Sports Radio, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show you up should do, but all my friend that come around, fight to party, whoop. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should you be? Only one question, though, for you tonight. To start the show, are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Already technical difficulties again, Carver High, for what? Is that about 3 out of 5 days this week?
I mean, it's a nightly occurrence, so it's just something that we...
Technical difficulties?
Got to push through.
So tonight the computers both didn't work. They're both shut off. Like, what do they come in here? Do these dudes come in here and do shows and then turn off the computers? When they leave, like, what, are you a moron? Seriously, like, who does that? I'm not saying anyone specifically, but I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. Like, shouldn't this stuff just be on all day long? I mean,
yes. Honestly. Yes, it should.
What's next? Did I not tell you the other night the TVs were shut off? Like, what is this, a morgue? Man, listen, just so the audience understands better, I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, I rock and roll in here. I do not mess around. Carver, I tell them, I got games going. I got it all going. I even got the air conditioner going.
Everything's happening.
I'm wearing nothing but basketball shorts, no underwear. I am rocking and rolling. I'm going straight to the courts after this. Mafia knows it's true. I'll sleep for like 2 hours, and then I'll go play ball for 7 miles. Straight to the hole, son. Go to the 10, big fella. You balling tomorrow, Mafia?
Yes, sir.
All right. It seems as though I have everything in working order now. Very excited about that. Because we have a really big show for you tonight. 855-212-4227. Are you surprised at this show tonight, Carver? You basically assembled it. Are you surprised you have this kind of lineup? I mean, it's strong.
Very strong tonight.
I mean, this is like an all-star show.
A lot going on. Big weekend coming up. A lot happening.
Not as big as next weekend.
Well, no, next weekend, when we touch down, I mean, that's it.
Oh, Michael, when does the plane land?
6 o'clock Saturday night in Vegas.
Do you want us to send over one of the ladies' minivans?
No, but I'll take an 8:45 table at Andiamo on Saturday night, so.
That sounds like a plan. All the ladies are going with, too. Is Pharrell going to pay for everyone?
Everyone.
Reputa checking in early with us tonight. Reputa the Buta. Also, we leave next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. We'll be in Vegas. For 8 nights, 5 live shows starting the week of the 29th. And we're at the View Bar, second floor of the D Casino. And then we host the Big Game Bash on Sunday the 4th at the Downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Call and make your reservations now. Get to Downtown Las Vegas. Get a room. Hang out with us. Come see the show live at least Friday, at the very least. Maybe come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Stay through Sunday. Go to the party. It's free to get in. It's a huge bash. It is a 5-star top-shelf bash. You will love it. I just wanted to say really quickly tonight, before I get going, how bad Indiana sucks. Oh, my God. Watching them tonight bend over in the Breslin against Michigan State. How pathetic was that performance, and like, I mean, at least show up to play. I mean, come on. Does anybody want to play? Does anybody want to put the ball in the hole? Does anybody block out? Does anybody take a charge? Mavia, you saw me take a charge in a game the other night from that big 300-pounder.
Yes, I did. Throwing your body out there for the good of the team.
I've done that many times. I've never gotten the call.
Probably never will again.
After my latest tech. So anyway, Indiana embarrassed tonight in East Lansing. I just couldn't believe what I was watching because Indiana had won like three in a row in a Big Ten, and they looked good doing it, and then they go to Michigan State. Now, I understand Michigan State's tough. The one thing I wanted to say about this, I just wanted to be really clear, was Gus Johnson on his knees or what for the Spartans all night? Did anyone listen to the broadcast? I mean, it was like an infomercial for Tom Izzo and Michigan State basketball. First of all, A-Rod was there. They gave him the floor for about 5 minutes. And then they just literally spent the entire night just on their knees. I mean, just it was full frontal. They had the whole deal going. I mean, they were just going off. On Michigan State, it was like they were doing their demo reel for Michigan State basketball. Like, these two guys, I don't know who he was doing it with, but they were cheering for Michigan State. And I got to tell you, it sounded pathetic, if you ask me. Now, I get it. I'm an Indiana fan. But I knew they were going to lose the game anyway. I just they never talked about Indiana once the whole game. Now, I know they got whacked, but they spent the entire night just gushing for Michigan State. I mean gushing like a river, like a geyser. It was unbelievable. I'm like, Gus, man, pull it down, son. Jesus, are you getting paid by Michigan State? Is there something I don't know about? You cutting a tape for him? God almighty, they were just absolutely knobbing him. It was unbelievable. I wanted to vomit. God, and if you listen to the game and you didn't see that and you didn't hear that, then you're a moron too. Seriously, it was awful. I wanted to puke. So we got a great show. Dan Shaughnessy will join us from the Boston Globe coming up here in about 8 minutes. Marcus Allen, the great Penn State senior safety, getting ready for the NFL draft, will join us tonight on the bench. Later in the midnight hour, Marcus Allen at 11:20, 8:20 Vegas strong time. And then at midnight, Billy Idol Hour of Love, Kane Peterson, the great night DJ, rock and roll legend from New York City, from Fresh, which is clearly not his style. He was a K-Rock guy, and then he was a satellite radio guy. Great punk rocker, nothing but trouble. He's from Minneapolis. He's been on the show before. Antonio Garay and him came in that one night. It was really funny, the former Jet and Charger. So Kane's coming in tonight to gush over the Vikings like Gus gushed over Michigan State tonight on FS1. At least when the governor does games on FS1, he's not a homer cheering for one side. I mean, honestly, I'm done with that guy after
the
I
governor's
listened.
The best.
But I listened to this guy tonight, and I was like, bro, come on, my God. Are you sleeping with somebody there? Like, at least Brando just calls the game, for Christ's sakes. I mean it. I'm not nice anymore. If I experience it, I'm going to call you out. If I see it and smell it and taste it, you're getting exposed. I don't care who you are. I really don't. Don't hate me all you want. Get in line. The line wraps around the city. Go to the east side and the Brooklyn Bridge. You can think it ends somewhere over there. Carver, I spit on those people one night. It's unfortunate. The Tom Brady hand saga continued today in Foxborough. What a joke, Carver High. You said earlier you want to hit people in the head with a hammer.
I thought it was everything that makes anybody who's not a Patriot fan hate them even more, what they did today. The arrogance. Him going up there with gloves on both hands. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Tom, you're playing, all right? You cut your hand on a teammate's helmet. You got a stitch. Relax. You're playing the game. You're probably going to drop 50 on them on Sunday. I'm so sick of it. It just makes me... And they are going to win by so much on Sunday. It is so lined up for them. They are going to demolish this team. It's so sickening.
They've never lost to them.
It's going to be so bad that at halftime, it's going to be over. I'm going to get so drunk in the second half, I'm not even going to get to watch the second game.
Michael, I thought you were doing calisthenics getting ready for Las Vegas. This behavior's unacceptable.
Guy stands up there today with gloves on both his hands.
Title games are Sunday. Jags-Pats at 3. That'll ruin the Vikings-Eagles experience for Carver High. He'll be hammered by halftime. Won't be able to even watch the second game. Going to have to DVR it. NBA trade rumors are heating up at the deadline. February 8th coming up. Cavs want Lou Williams, allegedly, and the Hornets are shopping Kemba Walker. There's a lot more to talk about there. Dana White said today that Nurmagomedov and Ferguson bout at 223 will be for the undisputed title, but did not answer questions about stripping Conor McGregor of the belt. Ferguson says Conor turned down a fight with him. Do you believe McGregor ducked Ferguson? No. I think he wants something bigger. And I believe Dana White did answer the questions about Conor McGregor. He said they're taking the belt from him. That's what they said. They're done waiting for him for 2 years and having that belt rotting with mold on it. So they're going to give it to the winner of that fight, and I think it's the right thing to do. Mafia, also, they announced that super chick fight. I don't know how to pronounce their name, so I'll let you do it.
Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, yeah, they're rematching. They fought at the one in the Garden a couple months ago. Now they're going to fight at the Barclays.
And didn't Rose lose that fight?
No, Rose won that fight. She beat Jędrzejczyk to take the belt away from her. No one thought she could, but she did.
All right, so there you go. We got a lot going on tonight. First up, Dan Shaughnessy, the legendary writer for the Boston Globe. We'll talk to him about Pat's Jags on the bench.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So how about this? The great writer and columnist Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. How fortunate are we to get this guy on the bench tonight on CBS Sports Radio? We're friends with a lot of guys from the Globe that come on the show, McBride, everybody. But Shaughnessy is at a different level. I love McBride till the day I die. I'd love to see those two in a fist fight. But Shaughnessy, I mean, your column today is just whatever. This week I read about the the helpless line of quarterbacks and foil for the Patriots. That is just such just beautiful is all I have to say. That stuff is just great. Like, I'm reading this column and I'm going – all right, it doesn't get any better than this. You're writing about bodies floating down the river of Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, Manning, Flacco, Wilson, Smith, Ryan, Roethlisberger, Drew Brees have all floated down the river past Gillette Stadium. And then you say that there's no quarterback who could beat him. And that the final four quarterbacks of Bortles, Keenum, and Foles, and Brady, it's like having an NCAA Final Four of Maryland, Baltimore County, Southern Utah, Ball State against Kentucky. That is just, I mean, that is terrific stuff, dude. That's why you're the best. That stuff is so awesome. I was laughing reading it. It's just so epic. The columns you kick out are great, man.
Well, thank you. That's it's nice that someone's paying attention to the writing. That's unusual these days. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, people pay attention to your column. It's you're very unique, one of the great columnists in America, and everybody knows it. How much fun have you had on the run you've had in Boston?
Boy, you know, I'm sitting in my home office, and I've got the front pages of all the championships in this century. There's 10 of them. And really, it's the high renaissance of New England sports and all four teams, and of course, none more so than the Patriots. We've got five front pages from Super Bowl victories here, and we've got a generation of young people that don't know what it's like to wait and suffer and go through the downs, and it's just been so much good here for so long, and none better than this Patriot run in 17 years. Just amazing.
You do you feel that? The how much the millennials and everything else have changed the landscape of writing. Like, you know, I can't go a day in my life without a newspaper in my hand in my driveway. I got several of them that come to me, and I went to journalism school at Indiana University, Ernie Pyle. I believe in it till the day I die. I think the worst thing I've ever seen is the bleeding of newspapers in this country. For you, when you see all these kids – frankly, that just look at their phones all day and don't read anymore. How much does that bother you as a great sports writer?
Yeah, I mean, it's evolution, and it, I understand it. No use baying at the moon over it. It's the way it's evolved. I get two rags home delivered and go down and buy five at the 7-Eleven every day, so I'm in the dinosaur category. I know all the stuff's there online. I understand that, but I don't get the same experience, and I miss things if I go online or if I'm scanning the paper, I'm less likely to miss little items and serendipity, things that you come across. I think with the reading on the internet, you tend to target what you already know and what you like, and you go there, and you don't really get that discovery that the other gives you. But again, I understand. I've got three grown-up children, and none of them touch a newspaper ever. And I understand that. It's just the way it's evolved. And the good news is, you know, a lot of the young folks you're citing, you know, they're good reporters and they're storytellers and content gatherers, and we've got to hand it over to them. I just hope we don't lose the craft of the writing, because I think there's more and more with the quickness and the shortness of the bites that are going out there. There's less emphasis on the writing.
What do you think that'll do to Boston sports if that Herald goes away? I like having both the papers there.
We need that. I mean, I've been home delivery Herald for 40 years, and we want them. You always want, you know, I was at the Washington Star when it went out of business in 1981, and you know, it's never a good thing. I was at the Baltimore Evening Sun. That's not there anymore, and we've seen it around the country, and it's the economy, and it's what's happened with what the internet has done and what social media has done. We get that. The good news is, like, places like the Washington Post, New York Times are fighting back and spending money and doing good reporting, and there'll always be a place for that. So we're hoping that our brothers at the Herald, our brothers and sisters at the Herald, they steer through these difficult times.
Do you think Dan Shaughnessy, the great writer in Boston with us from the Globe, when you've been around this guy Belichick all these years, how fascinating has that been for you, or do you find him painful? Because I think he's a very interesting guy. I would find him, because I was around Bob Knight for 5 years, sure, and I found it intoxicating to be around someone with all that, you know, his extremities. He was crazy, but there was a genius to him, too.
Yeah, well, the level of success and how good he is at his job and what a football historian he is and just the mismatches that we see on a weekly basis in this sport, it's just amazing. It gets more every year. The gap, you watch the way some of these games are mismanaged with the clock management and the play calling and, you know, blowing up stupid challenges and just name it. And that really, they very rarely lose because of coaching here. So I know what he's up to with the media thing, and I get that. I don't waste a lot of time going down there asking things I know he's not going to answer. And I don't like the people celebrating when he gives the media the finger. I think that, you know, the people want the information, and the reporters are there to try and get it, and I don't celebrate that attitude. But you cannot take away the genius that he's brought to this. It reminds me a lot of Auerbach in terms of had the thing with Russell all those years, and now you've got Belichick and Brady, and it's working in similar fashion.
Who's more interesting that you covered, was Auerbach or this guy?
Well, I would love to, like, to me, Bill would be a fascinating guy to be stuck in a car with for driving cross country or something. I just think there's a lot there. He's got great intellectual curiosity. Red wasn't much for the small talk, but he had the bottom line, and he liked to talk. And you know, and I actually enjoyed the cigar smoke because my old man smoked them, so that didn't bother me either. And kind of reminded me of being with my dad. And I loved Red, and I really felt like I knew him. I did a book with him. And Bill, we're the same age, but I don't really feel like I know him. But there's a lot in there, and I just feel I'd love to hear what he really has to say and thinks about things, because I just think I think the waters run deep there.
Right. Do you think the whole Brady thing today was cheesy?
Well, I don't know what's going on. Clearly, there's some injury there, and these guys are the. I mean, I cannot believe you can have, you know, got to be 100 people in the building that know what happened there and what the story is, and it doesn't get out. They would be the best POWs in the history of warfare. I mean, these guys, it's amazing. Nobody breaks, nobody cracks, and they're all on point, on message. But I thought, you know, Tom's thing was a waste of time today, and Bill's thing was a waste of time, and I just, there's a lot of, you know, worthy reporters just wasting their time down there. And, you know, it's not the blueprints to the MX missile here. I mean, it's football, and I just think the level of taking yourself seriously is a little bit over the top here.
Do you find Dan Shaughnessy, the one and only with us on the bench, do you find this game a piece of cake for them?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just, the longer I linger over it, this is, in my view, going to be a blowout. I cannot fathom Blake Bortles coming in. I've seen too many young quarterbacks. They have no chance against Belichick. None of them have done it. I mean, you know, Sanchez pulled off, you know, and that, but he had played against them, not done well, but there was a little familiarity there, and you know, being in the New York market, and I just think if you come in all pie-eyed and reverent and golly, that they just take advantage of that, and people tend to lose their minds when they get here. So, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I like competitive games. I didn't enjoy that Titan thing last week, but That Titan team, which was not even a playoff team, they beat the Jags twice this year.
Right.
Do you realize the Jags lost 9 straight last year? They were 3-13.
Yeah.
I know that's last year, but man, I mean,
they were terrible.
It's just unfathomable that they're in the final two standing here. And there are teams. This is not one of the great Patriot, dynasty teams, but given the field, they're certainly going to get to the Super Bowl. But I do think that the Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers. I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying if they were coming in here. I would just the level of respect and experience and having big boy pants and guys who think they can do it here and have done it here. I mean, I respect that. And again, nothing against the Jags. It's a tall order. I don't think they're up to it. I think the Patriots are going to take away the run,
right.
Make this guy do stuff he can't do, and it's going to be bloody.
You saw that Dan Shaughnessy, what is that, Super Bowl last year. Could you even believe it? I mean, honestly, down 25.
Yeah. I mean, again, and the Patriots, I give them credit for just keeping their heads down and doing what they do, but the capitulation on the part of the Falcons was just so – I mean, 2 two-point conversions that weren't even contested. It's just like they just quit. They just got scared and played that way, and their leadership was lacking, and that's the kind of thing that happens. I mean, they were better than the Patriots, and if that game had held to form, we'd have spent the whole summer and fall saying, I guess this is the end for New England, because that was a younger, faster, better team, and then they lost their way.
So your thoughts on a couple other things. Kyrie, what he's brought to the Celtics, because there's a lot of things they don't do well, that team. They don't shoot well, this and that. And I watched them last night. I thought they looked terrible without him. But they win all these games, and they got this great coach. What do you think their future is going to be like here the rest of the season with Kyrie? And then the other question I would have for you would be, with the Yankees getting Stanton and everybody's talking evil empire again and how the evil's back in the Bronx, do the Red Sox sign Martinez? And then is that going to be good again, that rivalry? Because it doesn't seem like – I didn't think it was any good the last couple of years.
Well, I think that on the Celtic thing, I mean, it's all ahead of them, and they don't have Haywood this year. They'll have him next year, and Kyrie has been just beyond what people hoped, and just he's really one of the top 10 players in the NBA, and just an amazing finisher like I've never seen. And he's just a handler, whatever they want to call it now. I mean, he's like, I've talked to Maxwell about it. He says better than Tiny Archibald, better than Cousy, better than all those guys in the old days. So it's a lot, and it's all ahead of them. They're very young. And that game, it just do away with that thing you saw last night. That was probably their worst game of the year.
Right.
But they're legit. They're very young. And the conference, I mean, they could have trouble with Toronto or Washington and certainly Cleveland if they get their act together. But they should be in the Final Four of the conference and have a chance to get to the NBA Finals, certainly. As for the Red Sox thing, they won the division back-to-back years, 93 wins, but have come up with nothing in October. And we're kind of in a show-me attitude with them until they demonstrate they can do things in October. They have a good young core of everyday players, not enough power, good veteran pitchers, and it's a strong team. But the Yankees have, the Yanks played much deeper into October last year, went out and did things in the offseason, including the big deal. And sure, so the Yanks are ahead of them now. Sox are chasing them now. And, I think the rivalry's definitely flattened out. It's never going to be what it was in 03, 04. But it's certainly crawling back to a level that those games will be really a big deal this year. And the Yanks beat them 11 out of 19 last year, so they head-to-head, they were better last year.
30 seconds. I play tons of basketball. I got to tell you, my favorite player of all time is Larry Bird. I've never seen anything like the way that guy played. And all the things he did with his size, his rebounding, his passing, his playmaking, his last-second heroics, what was it like to cover him?
It was a great treat, and again, we were around the same age, and I learned so much basketball seeing him, and he was, and he warmed up to us too. It was a lot. He got to be very, very good after games, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really it's a great thing to look back on.
Man, you're awesome. I love reading your columns. Keep doing your thing. Please don't ever stop. There's guys like you, they don't come around once in a generation. You're one of the greats. Keep up the good work, and do me a favor, punch McBride for me.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Take care.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so the title game snags for Mini Philly, Jacksonville, New England are all posted at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Go get them, money lines and spreads. Everything's there. Remember this. You know, it's always important to note how terrible I am at betting in terms of, like, you know, I hit 10 of the last 12 NFL playoff bets. 83%+. I suck. All I do is make people money. Every week is stacked with NBA, college hoops, and NHL. This weekend, there's just a bevy of action in the NBA, and college rack tomorrow is simply outrageous. You look at the games, it's just all day long. You know, Notre Dame, Clemson, Florida, Kentucky. It goes on and on. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas and West Virginia, Xavier, Seton Hall, TCU, Kansas State, Arizona State, Cal. It just never ends. NHL, same thing, full slate, Saturday night. It's just rocks off hockey the whole weekend, tons of games. And then there's boxing. You got the Spence-Peterson fight. Isn't the heavyweight Grand Prix in Bellator Saturday night as well, Mafia?
Yeah, it begins there.
And then is there a UFC event as well?
Yes, there is.
I mean, it's just a blowout weekend. You got to go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. Plus, we got daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com rules. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. All right. Can we go real quick? Just because it's fresh on my mind. The Roy Holiday. Can you even believe this? What did you think, Mafia? Did you see this or Carver High? Which one of you guys saw this and almost fainted? I mean, did you not, like, think, what is going on here? When did you ever think that you'd see that his autopsy report would list all those drugs in his system? I mean, bottom line, morphine, Ambien, amphetamines. I mean, what's going on there?
I'm not surprised at anything anymore when these things come back. I'm never surprised.
Really?
Really. There's been too many now. There's been too many things like this that happen.
Autopsy report notes that morphine can be found in the system as a result of heroin use. However, sources say there's no indication he was using heroin or any other drug. Well, then how do you have morphine in your system? And amphetamines. He's not using drugs, but the drugs are all in his system. Somebody drugged him? Is that the next thing I'm going to hear? That he was drugged by somebody? What, did they put three drugs in his system? What, like a drug cocktail in his system? Someone spiked his drink? I just don't believe that. Mafia, do you believe that? Like, how is it? They said they don't think he did drugs. Well, of course he did drugs. If all the drugs are in his system, right? I mean, come on.
Right. It's not like this is some, you know, spy thriller where someone, you know, juiced you with these cocktail of drugs and to cover up some kind of murder or something. The guy was flying a plane. There was no one else with him.
And he was doing tricks in the plane.
Right.
Wasn't he doing crazy?
He was flying up and down at high speeds, going crazy.
Flying crazy. He had to be, I mean, let's face it, right? Like, don't you think at this point that the whole thing about flying crazy and everything was, I mean, are you willing to guess that he was high? That he was doing it high and drunk or something? Or, I mean, they didn't say he was drunk. They just said he was on drugs.
It seems that that's the cause. It seems that that's what happened.
The coroner list, cause of death is blunt trauma and drowning. Well, of course, he crashed a plane in the Gulf of Mexico, but he was flying erratically, and he had morphine in his system and amphetamines. I mean, he had Ambien and everything, all of this stuff. How crazy is that? He was the only person aboard the Icon A5 light sport aircraft when it went down. He never did drugs when he played, did he? Did he ever? He never got popped for any of that.
Never heard any of that.
How crazy is that? When you saw that report, what did you think?
I said, I'm not.
You're not surprised. You're just like, whatever.
These things don't shock me anymore.
You're just cold. Accidents, you're cold-blooded, Carver.
That's it. I mean, these guys do this. You have no idea. And then the report comes out. I know we talked. Did we really think that Jose Fernandez is with the boat was going to come back? Did we really think that at first?
Did I think that? I definitely thought he was going to come back drunk.
I mean, these things, you know, they come back.
If you remember the show, I said there's no way he crashed that boat.
Right.
He wasn't drunk and high.
Right. Well, we thought the drunk part. We didn't know the high part, so.
I wasn't surprised about that at all, that they were drunk and doing coke.
Right, I wasn't surprised about Fernandez. I am surprised about Holiday. I mean, it explains maybe a little bit of why he was flying the way he was, but when you, you know, watch this guy's career, you never heard anything about him doing things like this. You know he's a family man. He allegedly, he's respected flying a lot because his father was a pilot. So to see that he was doing that while allegedly on things like this is very shocking, very surprising, and kind of disheartening. You know, when one of the guys that's supposed to be one of the good guys turns out to have stuff like this in his system when he dies, it really shakes you a little bit.
I know it sounds hard to imagine, and nobody wants to hear it, but no one cares about these guys after they get done playing. Is that not accurate? Like, no one cares about Roy Holiday anymore. I mean, is that about right? Seriously. Do we ever sit around talking about him ever? Unless there's some kind of Hall of Fame vote or something. Like, people don't care about these guys once they're gone.
No, they don't. They fall out of the limelight until there's some old-timers day or something. You're retiring your number or putting you in the Hall of Fame or you pass away. People forget.
That's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Heath in Pennsylvania, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Howdy, sir. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, it's been a long night for me. Can I get a domestic draft and a cool shot of Red Stag?
Can we get him a little shot of beer from the Pharrell above? Check it out. There you go.
My man, thank you very much. I appreciate you. It's been a long day.
I believe
it. Mobile meth lab in a 91 Astro van. It's just been a pain in the ass all day.
I believe that.
But anyways, I totally agree with you on the Holiday situation. Terribly unfortunate. But his behavior and the fact that he had those narcotics in his system, no doubt. Like, yeah, that explains a lot.
I mean, I just think it's like no one wants to hear it. No one likes it. It's not something we're all sitting over here and enjoying. But it is what it is. If the guy crashed the plane, he was flying it like crazy, maybe there was something wrong with the plane. That's not what they said, right? No one said that did they ever come out, Mavi, and say that the plane had problems or anything? They said that he crashed the plane.
Right.
And that he was driving and doing tricks and getting crazy in the plane. Is that not right?
That's correct.
And then now the autopsy report says he was filled up with amphetamines, Ambien, and morphine. And the morphine thing is what gets me. I'm really not that big of a deal on the greenies. Like, the guy was taking amphetamines or something, uppers, whatever. But that's no good either, is it? You can't mix. Is that a good idea? The cocktail of morphine and Ambien and amphetamines? That's just a bad mixture, if you ask me. One's an up, one's a down, right? And then the other one's a sleeping medication, for God's sake. So, I mean, at that point, you start wondering, like, I mean, if the guy was that high or whatever, then people stop feeling sorry for him, right? I mean, let's just face facts, right? At some point, people are like, oh, so he was all drugged up and he crashed and died? Well, then there you have it. That explains it. That's what you asked for it, right? I mean, no one wants to hear that, but if you're all high and drugged up and you're flying a plane, what do they say about these pilots if they catch them drunk or doing rails? And they got 200 bodies and souls on board. Nobody wants to be flying in an airplane to vacation with some pilot that's lit, do you? It's as simple as that. Real quick, Pat in Tucson, I got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about Holiday. So I know he seemed like a straight shooter in baseball because I'm a retired police officer myself, 25 years.
Right.
And my buddy that retired, you would be surprised of how they pass away from, you know, shooting themselves to drug overdoses, you know, driving motorcycles at 120, running from the cops. I think, so I went to a little rehab place after I retired because you lose the thrill. And in my class, there was a couple ex-football players. They were college players, but they still couldn't.
Pat. Don't give up. Don't go away. I want to hear the story. I told you I only had 30 seconds. So we'll start over right after the break. Chill out. Don't go anywhere. I want to hear more from you. Hold on.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.